If you don't know who I am, my name is Colin Severns, and I'm one of the assisting pastors here at Calvary Chapel Modesto, and it's always a privilege and an honor. Anytime Pastor Damien asks for me to teach down here, I love it, I enjoy it, and I honor it, and it truly is a blessing. So we'll be in Joshua chapter 5 this evening, and I know you guys are thinking, whoa, we were in Joshua this morning. Look at that. It's almost like the Lord planned it like that. Pastor Mark and I did not talk at all. So we'll be in Joshua chapter 5, looking at three verses this evening, verses 13 through 15. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, and I feel like I say that all the time, though, so I just love the whole Bible. Someone asks, what's your favorite passage, Colin? I may just say, it's the whole Bible, really. It really is. So Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And the Word of God says this, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as a commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Man, what a beautiful passage. You know, have you, maybe you're like me, and maybe you've asked someone in your lifetime for directions, and they just give you way too much information. Maybe you've been there. Maybe they look at you and say, okay, you're looking for this place. Here's what you got to do. You got to go down three lights, but not the third light. And you're like, what does that mean? And if the Starbucks line is long, then turn around and go where the old Blockbuster used to be, unless there's construction. If you smell pizza, you've gone too far, and then you have to take the back road back to the weird tree, and you're just standing there, and you're like, what is going on? Maybe you're nodding, you're like, yeah, I got it, though. I completely understand, but inside, you're like, this is confusing. It's too much information. You know, sometimes I do believe it is easy for us as followers of the Lord to fall into thinking that clarity means getting more details, getting more explanations, seeing more steps ahead. And maybe that can provide some understanding, but I believe the clearest moment is when we get direction, when we get directions, is when someone just says and looks at us, hey, don't worry, I'll just take you there. Just follow right behind me. I'll lead you in this place. Suddenly in that moment, you don't need to map out every turn, because the person that knows the information is leading. And when you have someone you can trust completely leading you, you don't need all the details. My wife, McKenna, she's the cutest, and I like to play a game with her. It's not really we playing the game, it's more I playing the game, where we'll leave a grocery store that we came together, we'll walk out, and I'll say, hey, where did we park? And, you know, she'll kind of look around, and most of the time, it's really just a complete guess. She just kind of points over there. Sometimes she gets it. Sometimes she gets it. But most of the time, I would say she doesn't know where we parked. To which she would say, well, why do I need to remember when I know you will? Right? You got us here. You drove us here. You will remember. That's fair. You know, she says that. Now, when she's by herself, she says, that's a different story. She completely crushes it. I don't know, you know, I'm just saying. But there is a mental release that happens when she is with me. She says, you know, I don't have to know because I know you do. So what am I saying? I'm great at finding my car in a parking lot. No, that's not what I'm saying. No, the point is, I believe people confuse details with clarity. You know, most of us, I would say, want more details. And we think the more details that we have of whatever situation or hardship around us is the answer to the clarity that we are seeking. where I believe all throughout Scripture, I believe the way that the Lord reveals to us clarity is not always more information. It is encountering and trusting in the one, the only one who is in control and has all the information. He's the leader. You know, clarity is a word that we love, and it's a fantastic thing to pray for. But I do think often when we pray that, what we are really saying is, God, hand me a step-by-step plan that my brain, my human brain, can comprehend. But in this incredible passage in Joshua 5, as we will study this evening, we will see that the Lord gives something greater than information, greater than any strategy or battle plans, war plans. He gives his presence, and he shows up. The clarity that we will see Joshua experience doesn't strictly come from understanding the battle plan. It comes from understanding on his behalf that he isn't leading the Israelites alone. We should never lead anyone alone. You know, leading can be difficult. Whether that's leading a family, maybe it's leading a ministry or a workplace, it's not always easy. Because you are facing issues first. Now, you are hitting the cliff of issues first. And sometimes you are facing issues that you've never faced before. And everyone, if you're the leader, is looking at you and saying, you are the one who's supposed to know what to do. But whether you consider yourself a leader or not, every single person in this room needs to be led by the Lord. That word clarity, you'll hear it a lot this evening. And it's such a great word. Even the word itself is, I think it's a pretty word, right? Clarity. But before we look at verse 13 and break down these three verses, I believe it is wise for us to get on the same page and be sure and make sure everyone is aware of what a Christophany is, because it really sets the foundation of these verses. And spoiler alert, in this passage, we will see one. So what's a Christophany? A Christophany is understood by many as a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. In other words, before he showed up in Bethlehem as a baby in the manger, Christ physically showed up in human form, walking in passages in the Old Testament. These are physical appearances, you know, often in Scripture spoke as the angel of the Lord. Or in our case tonight, we'll look at the commander of the army of the Lord. So what are some signs of a Christophany, and how do we know it is Christ? I would say a big one is that the figure speaks as God. They don't speak for God. Or maybe a regular angel, and I say regular, angels are not regular, but, you know, not a Christophany. A regular angel would say, God will be with you. And a Christophany, the angel of the Lord would say, I am with you. He accepts worship as well. Where regular angels would reject worship, as the word tells us in Revelation 22, verses 8 and 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. In a Christophany, God accepts the worship because he is God. He's the only one deserving of our worship. A lot of times in Scripture, when a Christophany takes place, he is identified as Lord. You know, I think about in Genesis 16, 7 through 13, the angel of the Lord appears to Hagar, and afterwards she says, you are the God who sees me. The figure isn't just a messenger, he is God. And anytime we come to passages where Jesus, God, appears in the Old Testament, it should always remind us that he wasn't just a New Testament figure. He's eternal. Jesus is God. He's unchanging and continually working to reveal God, lead his people, and bring salvation. You know, as Pastor Mark taught this morning, kind of the opening of Joshua chapter 1, and he covered a lot of what's happening with the Israelites at this time. But let's just real quick do a little bit of an introduction to catch us up to verse 13 through 15. So we heard this morning, Joshua, this man, was a key leader in Israel's history, serving as Moses' assistant in Joshua 1:1. Later as the leader who brought Israel into the promised land. Joshua was Moses' trusted aide. He was bold, he was courageous and godly, and was one of the 12 spies sent to scout the promised land in Numbers 13. And when 10 other spies gave a fearful report, only Joshua and Caleb trusted God's promise, which is why they were the only two from their generation allowed to enter the promised land in Numbers 14:30. At this time in the life of Joshua, Joshua is now leading the Israelites. He is the new Moses. He was chosen and given this calling because of his faithfulness, his obedience, and his close relationship, not only to Moses, but of course to the Lord. At this time, in chapter 5 in the book of Joshua, the Israelites are getting ready for battle. And the Bible doesn't give an exact number of battles in the conquest of Canaan, but it is a lot described in Joshua 6 through 12. This conquest took around 7 years, and the Israelites are entering through the promised land. The book of Joshua picks up after Moses dies in Deuteronomy 34. And the first city that the Lord will have the Israelites conquer is Jericho. We know this story, probably most of us, but a lot of people may forget the moment before, the encounter that led to the walls falling down. You know, Jericho was the first and probably the most famous battle. In Joshua 5, the Israelites they're camped near Jericho, the first city they will conquer. And these three verses are pivotal to the rest of Joshua, and I believe the man he will become. You know, Joshua, as their leader, he's at a place right now where he's surveying Jericho. He's wondering, how are we going to take this city? Because we know Jericho had a very large wall around the city. And then all of a sudden, in verse 13, a mysterious figure appears. Look down at the first few words of verse 13 with me. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. You know, we talked about it, this word clarity, and everyone needs clarity. We need a guide. Moses, as great as he was, he needed a guide. He needed direction. Joshua needed one. He needs one. He really needs one right now. In this moment, Joshua is by Jericho. He is probably looking towards the city, a little bit in over his head, don't you think? Thinking, how are we going to do this? He's maybe having these thoughts. God, I know you've placed me here. I know you've called me to lead the Israelites in this time. I know you've promised, but how? How are we going to do it? And I picture Joshua here as he is by Jericho. I kind of picture him like he is in school. Maybe you can think back to the time you were in school or even now. And have you ever been given a test? Maybe the teacher lays a test on your table and you receive it. And maybe you look at the first problem and you're like, whew, that's too hard. And you go to the second one. And you're like, no, it's not any better. And you go to the third, fourth. And then sure enough, you're turning it over and you're like, wow, this test is unbelievably hard. Maybe you think, I don't know any of this stuff. And you're overwhelmed. You're shaking a little bit. You're looking around at your friends. Are you seeing this test? And the text doesn't explicitly say that Joshua is by himself, but I do believe the scene reads very personal. There's no mention of other soldiers. There's no conversations with anyone else. In other words, Joshua is by himself. He's by the city. He's probably looking out in the distance and studying the city, Jericho, from a distance. How often does the Lord meet us when we are by ourselves? You know, there is something deeply important about learning to be alone with God. Because all throughout Scripture, some of the clearest encounters happen when people step away from the noise. You know, Joshua stands near Jericho in this moment and he meets the commander. Moses at the burning bush. Jacob wrestles through the night. Community. Having brothers and sisters in the Lord is a gift. You know, we were never meant to live isolated lives. Yet, I believe, if many of us are honest with ourselves, many of us may fill every quiet moment with distraction because being alone at times can feel uncomfortable. But solitude with God is not loneliness. It is positioning our hearts to hear him more clearly. And I believe God is speaking, and he speaks all the time, and he speaks far more than we even realize, I believe. But the challenge is not his silence, but the volume in our lives. Life can be crazy. So when we intentionally step away from the crowd, step away from the phone, the notifications, and even the good busyness of ministry, we create space for his voice in our lives to settle our thoughts, to realign our hearts, and remind us that clarity begins not with more noise around us, but with simply being with him. And Joshua is thinking to himself, as many of us would in that position, he's thinking, man, those walls look pretty big. And he's the leader, he's the commander. And I'm sure he's thinking to himself, how in the world are we going to take over this city? We need a plan, but what is the plan? I don't know. God, I need clarity. God, give me clarity. But he's probably thinking in that clarity, I need the details, as we would. I need the information. I need the battle strategy. I mean, they looked unbeatable. And as any good leader would, Joshua is thinking through all the options, all the scenarios. He's by the city. His brain is spinning. You know, maybe we could go there. Could we do that? Maybe if we do this, that would work. Maybe not. In every scenario, he is thinking, it probably ends with the thought of, I got a group of people, the Israelites, looking at me for a decision, and I got nothing. Nothing that doesn't end with us getting killed. Jericho, a strong fortress with the walls. It was a strategic location located near the Jordan River. They were ready. They had military readiness. As it says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Israel had fought battles before, some armies, but not a walled city like this. You know, sometimes we can let our brains, the brains that God gave us, get in the way of him. Now, I don't like when I do that. And I wonder if maybe Joshua was there mentally. He's by Jericho. He's thinking, he's looking. And as verse 13 continues to tell us, that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. The eyes of Joshua look up and they get set onto a mysterious man with a capital M, verse 13 tells us. And not only was this man there, he was just there. He just got there. And this guy has a sword. And not just, you know, Joshua's far away and he's like, I think that's a sword. Is that a sword? No, it's a sword. Wasn't just hanging down on his side. It was drawn out, holding it in his hand. And the word of God tells us in verse 13, Joshua went to him. Crazy guy. Starts to walk towards him. All right, be right back. I gotta go walk towards this mysterious man with a sword. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if I saw a guy in the distance with a sword drawn out, I am not walking towards him, right? I'm not doing that. In fact, I know I'm not, because there was this one time I was in downtown Modesto. Sure enough, guy, samurai sword, just out there. Cross the street. I'm not going that way at all. But Joshua, we learned about it this morning, he's more courageous, right, than me, and he goes towards it. Verse 13, and Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Very fair question that Joshua asked this mysterious man in the desert with the samurai sword drawn. He says, whose side are you on? Are you with us? Are you with them? And keep in mind where they are. The word says they are by Jericho. And I picture him saying kind of like this, are you with us or are you with them? As he points to the direction of Jericho. And I just love how the word of God paints such a picture in our head. Joshua is there. He's surveying by himself and strategizing how Israel was going to take this city. And he sees a warrior standing with a drawn sword, meaning he is ready for battle. And naturally, Joshua wants to know, whose side are you on? Are you with us or are you with them? But I find it very interesting in verse 14, the response. Look down with me at verse 14. So he said, no. What does that mean? But as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. A little bit of an interesting response, no. Now maybe it's one of those things, it's not, but have you ever been in a situation where you can't quite hear someone too well? And you're like, what? What was that? They asked something, what was that? Maybe for a second time you go, what was that? And you still can't hear and you're like, well, I can't do it a third time. That's crazy. So maybe like me, you kind of just hit them with one of these. Yeah. And you're just like, I don't know what I just agreed to. I don't know what I just said, but what am I, crazy? I can't ask a third time what they said, but he doesn't do that. This man doesn't do that. But he answers, no. No to what? Joshua asks, are you with me or with them? And we talked about it, what a Christophany is, you know, a pre-incarnate physical appearance of God in human form. And right here in this moment, I do believe Joshua is standing before Christ. About 1,300 years before the manger, God in human form is face to face with Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, talking to him. And in God's response to Joshua's question, should I say his, you know, kind of lack of response, I believe he is making it very clear to Joshua and to us that God is not choosing between human sides. No, he stands on his own holy ground. God will always be God. He is perfect and is on the path of truth, love, and righteousness. He is those things. So the answer to Joshua reveals that the Lord is saying, the question isn't whose side are you on, God? It needs to be for Joshua and for us, God, am I on your side in this? Am I with you in this? I think we need to realize that the Lord never presents himself as someone that we recruit to be on our side, but as the one that we surrender to. We often want in our lives God to validate our plans, validate our opinions, even our battles. Yet throughout Scripture and in our lives, we see that the Bible makes it clear that he stands firmly on the side of truth and righteousness. And he calls people individually, by ourselves, to align with him, rather than asking which group does he support. And when Joshua asked the question, he asked the commander, are you for us or for our adversaries? Their answer to the question redirected the question entirely. Because the real issue was never whose side is God on, but whether Joshua, as a leader, would bow down and surrender and be led by the commander of the army of the Lord. And the same is true today. You know, Jesus didn't come down to this earth and take sides in human agendas. No, he came to reveal the Father's will and invite us into it. And I believe real clarity, clarity that we long for, that we search for, real clarity comes when we stop asking the Lord to join what we are doing and instead let him lead into whatever he's going to do, trusting his way is always right, even when it may challenge our perspective on things. And the commander of the army, the Lord, is saying, the real question to you, Joshua, isn't whether I am on your side, but whether you are on mine. You know, I kind of equate it to a football game. We got two teams that are battling for victory. And each team wants the referee to make calls in their favor. But the ref isn't on either team. He follows the rule book. He enforces the game according to the standard. And likewise, the Lord God is not here to fit into our plans at all. He is the king. And our job is not to get the Lord on our side, but to get onto his side. And I believe the point that the Lord is making as he stands in front of Joshua, and he's trying to make with us as well, and his response is that God is always good, he's always just, God hates evil and he loves good, and he's unchanging. So he doesn't weigh the two groups and says, well, I'm on their side because they're better. No, he is the standard of good. And the question is, which side is going to follow the Lord and seek him and listen to him? And it's good to ask ourselves in the quietness of our heart in this room, do we expect God to bless our plans or are we seeking his plans? There's a difference there. And this verse is a great reminder to pursue the Lord and not to try to get the Lord to agree with you. And whatever it may be in your life, many different things come up, whether it's in marriage or relationships and jobs and ministry, your life, your plan, your future. Is it getting on the page that the Lord is on or trying to bring God to yours? Because God is going to stay where he's at and do what is right and do what is good. Maybe for you younger folks, are you really supposed to date that person? Are you supposed to take that job? Or are you just trying to get God to put a stamp or approval over something that he's not? Are you really supposed to work there? Are you really supposed to go to that school? Or are those your thoughts that you are bringing to the Lord and you're bringing the Lord along for? You know, our prayer, my prayer should never be, Lord, join me in my thinking. It should be, Lord, I pray I am with you. And that may sound easy, like, of course, that's a no-brainer. But it is a shift. It is a change of thought, prayers, and actions that need to happen. You know, the question that Joshua asked may have seemed on paper like it made sense. And maybe it was to him, it was. And we would look at it and say, that's a good question. That's an important question to ask. But it was not the most important question to be asked at that time. The proper question was if Joshua and the people of Israel that he led were on the Lord's side. Like I said, Jesus is always on the side of truth, righteousness, godliness. He does not choose human factions, but he stands for holiness. And he calls all of us to be a part of that kingdom, you and me. You know, in Luke 11:23, Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. There's no neutrality with Jesus. We must choose to follow him rather than asking him to fit into our plans. Very important. The rest of verse 14, the word of God says, and Joshua, in that moment, fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? You know, something in this conversation, it clicked for Joshua. Now, whether it was the power of the words, maybe he got clarity and saw God's face, but something happened. And as soon as the realization came of who was standing in front of Joshua, something happened. What did he do? He fell on his face to the earth and worshiped. You know, I find it interesting because leading up to this moment, this encounter, Joshua was in battle mode. He was in strategizing mode. But in this moment, battle mode went out the window. Jericho wasn't a thought. Battle plans and strategy was not on the front of Joshua's mind when he encountered the Lord. worship was. It was worship. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped God. In other words, he was in so much awe of God standing before him that he could not contain his worship. And now in this moment, he refers to God as my Lord, as we see it there in verse 14. What is my Lord? And he also says, say to his servant. He's God's servant. And like I said, let's keep in mind what happened right before this, right? As Joshua is by Jericho, he knows the plan is to defeat them some way, somehow, but how? What is the strategy? And any leader can get so caught up on the strategy and they can miss pursuing the Lord. Everyone in this world, we will face difficult times. We'll all face hard times, battles in our lives that you didn't ask for, that even you're confused by. And Joshua is right there with you in this moment. He is confused by the battle ahead of him. But a beautiful thing happens. You know, keep in mind, he has the chance right now to ask God, standing in front of him, the question that has been on his mind. And the question that has been on everyone's mind, every Israelite. The Israelites looking at their leader, Joshua, to provide the answer. How are we going to win? And Joshua standing before the commander of the Lord's army. Help me. But he doesn't do that. No, after realizing who he is speaking to, the first thing that Joshua does is not think of battle strategies. No, he falls on his face in worship. He worships the creator of the universe. Clarity in Joshua's mind did not come when he got more details. It came when he took his eyes off of the battle ahead of him and set them on the Lord and worshiped God. And before Joshua fought the battle ahead of him, as we know in chapter 6 it takes place, he had an encounter with the Lord and he fell on his face and worshiped. Before Israel took one step toward Jericho, before any of that took place with the walls and the shouting and all that stuff, worship happened first. Worship happened before, worship happened during and after. Do we view our worship to our Savior as a weapon in spiritual battles? Instead of reacting with stress or fear, do I stop and worship God first? Worship, a very powerful tool that we have. Because what does it do? It gets the attention off of ourselves, off of our battles, our struggles, and onto the Lord. And when our eyes are on the Lord, he will give us clarity. It all connects. When we worship the Lord, it gives us perspective because we recognize how small our problems are compared to the size of the Lord. And that gives us clarity into who is actually leading us. Joshua, he recognized the glory of who was standing in front of him. And it put things in the blink of an eye into perspective for him. At that moment, Jericho and the walls and the battle was not on his mind. Strategy, the battle plan wasn't there. He was strictly overwhelmed by the glory in front of him and he fell on his face and worshiped. We often see that in Scripture. When God's glory is revealed to the people in Bible, we see they fall on their face and worship. You know, I firmly believe the closer that we get to the Lord, the more he reveals his glory to us, which then we can't help but worship. There's something in us that can't be held down. And in verse 15, the word of God says, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Joshua knows it is God in human form standing in front of him. And he worships him, and God accepts the worship, you know, checks that box. Not only did God accept Joshua's worship, But the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. In other words, this place that we are at, this presence, the presence who you are in front of is holy. You know, I can't help but think of someone else in Scripture. You know, what does that sound like? Someone else who had an encounter with God where the sandals came off. Right? We think of Moses. Moses in Exodus 3:5, the Word of God says, then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. This encounter that Joshua has with Jesus, it mirrors the encounter that Moses had with God at the burning bush in Exodus 3:5. You know, as I was preparing this message for the night, this moment is something that really did intrigue me. And as any time I prepare a teaching, you know, I prepare a study, I really like to, you know, put myself in the shoes of the people there in that moment, the people in the story. I do believe it helps me teach the Word of God. And of course, any Bible teacher, any good Bible teacher, never wants to add anything to Scripture. I don't ever want to add, you know, my thoughts that aren't there. But I don't believe it is that much of a leap to think that Joshua in this moment probably was feeling a bit in over his head. Because who wouldn't feel that? He's looking out at Jericho, the city, and wondering what is going to happen. What is he going to do? And the big question, how are we going to win? How is any leader supposed to do this? And maybe he's thinking to himself, how did Moses do stuff like this? And I can't help but imagine that shadow that Joshua stepped into. You know, Pastor Mark this morning talked about it as well. I mean, it's Moses we're talking about. And maybe Joshua in this moment was having some doubts of his leadership abilities, maybe even his connection with God. Maybe he's thinking, it's probably a leader would that followed in the footsteps of Moses. I'm no Moses. And perhaps he's heard these stories in this moment of Moses with God in the burning bush. Like the Word of God talks about this encounter that Moses had with God. And the Word of God also tells us that Joshua was Moses' assistant. He walked with Moses a long time. Moses probably shared multiple times when God met him in the burning bush. And God, being our God, God we serve, he's so good to Joshua, so good to us, he's so gracious. And maybe part of this encounter was a way of calming the leadership doubt and the comparison that he was doing to himself or doing to himself to Moses. Moses did this, I didn't do it. Moses had this holy encounter with God. I haven't had that. And in Joshua 5:15, when the commander of the Lord's army tells Joshua, take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy. It directly echoes God's words to Moses in Exodus 3:5. Joshua would have thought, God did this with Moses, and he's choosing to do it with me. How special, how intimate. Take your sandals off, Joshua. I'm God. The message is clear. You are standing in my presence. This is a holy place because I am here. And just as Moses was called to lead God's people, now Joshua is called to lead them into battle. And Joshua having this encounter with God. And the main point that I want to make throughout this whole study is that clarity in our walk with God is not the moment where every question is answered or every step is mapped out. It is the moment when our eyes lift up and we see him, our Lord, our Savior, more clearly than we see our future, more clearly than we see our fears, our plans, our uncertainty. You know, so often we may beg God for details. God, I want details. I want timelines. want explanations. I want outcomes. Yet Scripture shows us again and again the greatest clarity comes through encountering the Lord. When we draw near to the Lord, we may not walk away with a full strategy, a full game plan ahead of us, but we walk away knowing Him more intimately, and that changes everything. The closer we get to the Lord, the more natural worship becomes, because you begin to see the Lord's goodness closer, His authority, His faithfulness, and His presence in a way that quiets the chaos around you. You may realize that peace was never found in having all the answers, but standing before the one who holds them. Walking with the one that as you leave the store, you're like, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I parked. But you do, God. And I'm trusting in you. And just like Joshua shows us this evening, the order, I do believe, matters. He did not receive the battle plan first. He received the presence of the Lord. And he fell on his face and he worshiped. And then came the direction that didn't even make human sense. And maybe tonight that's where some of us need to wrestle with the Lord. Because it's easy to say we trust God when we have all the answers, when we have all the details. But real faith asks the deeper question, do I trust the Lord Himself, Him? Or do I only feel secure when I know what's going on and I know what He's going to do? Clarity is not a list. It is not a timeline. Not a guarantee of comfort. Clarity is a person named Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who leads even when we cannot see the whole path ahead. So the challenge for us this evening is maybe a simple one, but it's honest. Will I seek His face before I seek His plan? You know, oftentimes, and I do this as well, we may pray, God, show me your plan. And I'm not saying it's a bad prayer to ask the Lord. But maybe the Lord is stirring in your heart tonight, Lord, I just want to seek you. God, show me you. The plan will follow. Will I worship Him even when the strategy feels strange? Will I trust that the greatest clarity that I could ever know is not knowing everything about tomorrow, but knowing Him today? And we know the story in chapter 6, what ends up happening. We're not going to read it. We're not going to study it. But what happens? The Lord ends up giving Joshua the precise, the crazy plan for how they were going to win. With the marching and the shouting and the trumpets, the Israelites will win. Now, Joshua maybe was looking for a strategy, looking for a plan for his battle, and he got it. And he got the comfort, he got the clarity, he got the vision when he fell on his face, had an encounter with the Lord. So as we wrap up this evening, I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. We're going to close with a couple songs just to meditate upon the things that the Lord is speaking to you. We're going to play a couple songs and then I'll come back up and pray for us and close this out. But maybe some questions to process with the Lord this evening. How is my trust with the Lord currently? How is my worship? Is my worship circumstantial? Or is that a place, Lord, in the good times, in the bad, I'm falling on my face and worshiping you? Do I long for clarity? But maybe I'm looking in the wrong place. Reflect. Worship the Lord in this place tonight, and I'll close this out in a bit. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that, Lord, it's such a blessing to be able to open it, to read it, and that you give us the clarity we need to understand it, and in this life, the clarity we need, Lord. We don't want to get ahead of you in any way. Lord, we want to follow right behind you in your leading, your guidance. Jesus, you are the good shepherd, says in the word. And we thank you that we can just say, I'm in and I'm following right behind you. God, I pray if there's anything in this moment, in this time that you're stirring in our hearts, that it wouldn't just be something that we leave here in this place, Lord, that we process it with you, maybe process it with a pastor or a friend tonight, God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your love, the greatest love that we can ever experience and the greatest love that this world has ever seen, your love for us. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.